When a severe storm hits, hail and high-speed winds can cause excessive damage to your home. This can lead to blown-off shingles, broken windows, siding damage, and leaking inside. If you suspect your home has been hit with storm damage, contact CNN Construction today. We are a proud GAF Master Elite contractor, offering free exterior home inspection for storm-related damages. CNN is a reputable licensed roofing and general contractor working hand-in-hand with insurance companies and homeowners every step of the way through the difficult claims and restoration process. We will meet with your insurance adjuster to discuss the damages to your property, the value of those repairs, and the scope of work needed at your home. Our skilled team has you covered and will leave your home looking brand new. Give us a call today at 844-415-ROOF. Or visit our website at cnroofs.com for a free exterior inspection. CNN Construction, we find the solutions, not the excuses.
Hang on a second, guys. One second.
What up?
We've got to give a shout out to South Nashville Heating and Cooling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Friend and supporter, showing proof. Also, the longest-running sponsor of I Got Some Shit to Say, the podcast.
Absolutely. Look, man, South Nashville Heating and Cooling, where quality and craftsmanship come together. They've been doing this since 1985. That's almost 40 years of service. Expert designs, quality installation, superior service.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you something.
What's that?
Tell me.
I feel confident in the fact that South Nashville Heating and Cooling will keep me warm in the winter.
For sure.
It'll keep me cool in the summer.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, these middle months, you'll be comfortable even then.
Absolutely, dude.
Y'all know the deal, man. South Nashville Heating and Cooling, we love those guys. Y'all see the name, y'all see the number, tap in.
Feliz cumpleaños.
Always.
Storm!
It's I Got Some Shit to Say, the podcast, man. We're back like we don't stop, because trust us, we never do. All we do is work. Y'all know me.
Fuck you, Squints.
That's right. R.I.P.
Wizzle Fizzle.
Forever and always. With me this time, down on the end of the couch, the one, the only.
Big Mildred.
Yeah, where's she at, man? Still looking?
She around.
Okay. Yeah. Roster filling up.
Yeah.
All right, man. We're
talking
about
it.
Yeah, right. So, couple guests tonight, and one, a familiar friend of ours. Man, an ongoing relationship, a good friend of mine. We got SMG Jimmy back.
What's
in the
good,
building.
Y'all? How y'all living?
That's for you, my friend.
Yes.
With him tonight, though, we are joined by y'all. Shut up, Jimmy's. Y'all know him. Anyway, we got a very special guest tonight. One that I'm. Fuck, dude. I shamefully untapped into as much as I should be. But when I went down the rabbit hole of our guest tonight, dog, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the one, the only Emilio Rojas.
Hey, what up, man? What up?
Hey, a talented brother, man.
Come on now.
I got a chance to see him in... I see him live, and the brother's good, man.
It was super impressive. Currently, Emilio is featured on the Untouchable Tour with Ritz. And that is right. Untouchable Tour, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Y'all literally just told me 30 seconds.
That was
seconds
it,
ago,
yeah, yeah. I have to remind it, too. It's been a long day.
Right? Currently available on that tour, and we stepped out last night. Me and O&E stepped out and linked up with Jimmy, because Jimmy is featured on a song currently that's featured on your set.
Yeah.
And Jimmy being a homie, we rode out with Jimmy and had aspirations to have Emilio pull up tonight. But, you know, aside from not being tapped into your catalog the way I shamefully have to admit, to see that first, that's dope as fuck.
Bro. Yeah, it is.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah.
To watch and out, you know, because we surround ourselves with a lot of talent, you know, toot, you know, as far as honking my own horn.
Toot, motherfucker.
But, you know, there's a lot of talent around us a lot of the time. And for me personally, when I come in contact with an artist that's as seasoned as yourself and with a track record that's as loud as yours is, to see you for the first time perform to that type of magnitude, bro, like from, because I used to be an artist years ago. And now that I'm in this pocket now and I surround myself with people around these couches and chairs all the time.
Right.
It's interesting to see someone like yourself portray this art the way that you did that night. And this was just literally within 24 hours.
I'm going to tell you. Some of the best crowd control I've ever seen.
Bro.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely
real talk, man.
the interaction that you literally came out with, and then like the sense of humor that you pertained on the stage, like I could only imagine what that would be like from city to city. But to watch a stranger do it like that, I don't know personally, and just to see it from afar, you know what I mean? Because we distanced ourselves a little bit. We were over by the merch booth. It's posted up right there. But from the outside looking in, bro, it was really interesting to watch. You know what I'm saying? Because the magnitude of artists that we do come across with, it's it was a different approach, bro. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you came out and you interacted with the crowd like from a sense of humor type standpoint. Mm-hmm. Even maybe disrespecting a couple other cities that you've seen on this more recently. Right? But just ultimately demanding a better response from the current city you were in, which was Nashville. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that just sort of set the tone for Emilio's set, you know, and to come out dribbling the ball like that and then start tricking on motherfuckers. It's interesting to watch, bro, because me and one didn't know really what to expect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was not disappointing, though. Oh, like,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
But it just started with the crowd work.
Yeah, like I don't take myself too seriously. You know, I feel like hip hop has a tendency to just really be self-important a lot of times. And I'm not that type of person. Like I make a lot of serious music, so I need to temper that with something else to balance it out.
Yeah.
You know, so I get on stage and I fuck with people. Like, you know, like we've had a lot, like this is my first time through the Midwest, so I put a King of the Hill fucking interlude in my set.
Facts.
This shit is just, it's just jokes. This shit is just fun. You know, I just be cracking jokes. And when I get on stage, it's like, I feel like they're going to do what the fuck I want them to do. And I'm going to treat them like homies until they don't. And that's the way it works.
But you can tell though, man, like if there's more than just season in your performance. You know what I'm saying? Like it's personality. Jumping in the crowd and actually getting with the people, man, it's a sense of comfort. It's bringing people who not necessarily a fan to becoming a fan. Like those moments, you know what I'm saying, that you transition to people. And I think that shit is dope, man. I was over that motherfucker amazed. Yeah, like, all right, I'll see you.
Like I said, for it all to start, when you come out and the intro is going, shout out DJ Rifle, your DJ. That's your DJ, right?
No, I linked with him yesterday for the first time.
Oh, dope. Okay, cool. I had an opportunity to meet him for the first time yesterday as well. Yeah, he was a beast. Super solid dude.
That's another story we can get into later in the podcast.
Right, yeah, shout out Rifle. when you came out initially, you know, like I said, the immediate thought from I'm just trying to preach this to you from a consumer standpoint, you know what I mean? Because this is a guy flying blind. I'm walking in saying, all right, this is a guy pulling up for the podcast tomorrow. I did a little bit of research. I've seen some of his features, some freestyle shit you've done. I've seen a lot of stuff. But at the same time, you're unfamiliar. You know, we're strangers.
For sure.
So, and you didn't know my face from a fly on the wall. That's best scenario for this, if you ask me.
Right.
But to see you come out and work the crowd initially just verbally was check. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Point as a point for Emilio right then. But then them bars came, bro.
Yeah.
And the way them bars come, you know, when artists get out there and rap fast, and not that you rap fast all the time, rap fast, there's a particular way a person can throw these bars around and it just sound where it's still legible from a live perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an easy feat because I used to tongue twist a little bit myself. And I know just amongst the hype and amongst everything else, to be able to portray those lyrics in that type of tone, bro.
Yeah.
And us know what the fuck you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm trying to preach this like from a consumer standpoint because I think it's important for artists to hear these type things.
Okay,
you know what I mean, and that's kind of like something we've kind of levels that we've painted across the platform we've created over here.
Right,
is my chair is pulling heartstrings and letting y'all understand like what it's like. From being a former artist to now a pretty successful podcast host, to sit back and really get an opportunity to tell people like yourself how impactful these things are.
Because
I hope so, man. Because
no, I really do.
Like just to not be tapped into your catalog, but then being anxious to leave a venue wanting to tap into more. Is not a quality that a lot of artists can portray on these people in a crowd as strangers. Like if they showed up to see Emilio Rojas open for fucking Ritz, that's a whole different discussion.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we're talking about, this is one of the dopest fucking rappers I've ever met in my life.
Thanks.
I appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm walking through the room. I'm walking in the room like that with this guy. And then, you know, it's like, all right, let's see what he's got. And like I said, these checks keep coming, bro. It's like, okay, this guy.
I feel like Emilio Ben doing it.
Right? And shame on me. That's what I'm saying. Shame on me.
The man quiet. He shut up everybody.
Yeah. And went acapella
forget
on him.
Forget the mic. Forget all that. Yeah. Just shut up.
Yeah. Put the mic. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Get fucking closer.
Yeah. Yeah. Come here.
Love that. And took the fuck off.
Yeah. I said, yeah.
So I'm talking my shit, bro, just so if there's any ever doubt into how you're doing that shit.
I appreciate it.
Keep that shit. Only thing I didn't like being from so where I was is when you jumped down, I couldn't see.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I think about that. Like, are people going to be able to see me not on stage?
Nope. Yeah. You're gone.
Yeah. You do disappear, but.
Gone.
Sometimes you need the energy from the front of the house so you can get the back of the house.
So, see, I got the benefit of being tall as hell, so I can see everything.
I was like, let me get on your shoulders, Bubba. He was like, nah, man.
That's funny.
But. In that same discussion, you know, like where you get down and you say you want to feel that vibe too, or you think it's important to portray that. There's no shame in that also because shout out Lyric. You know, Lyric was in the building and Lyric's a big, he's the guy that gets up front of the stage. He wants you to know that he's there to support 100%. Right. Shout out Lyric for those type, for that type energy. But fun fact, he held his fucking camera up.
Right.
And when you see that, bro, that's not a bad look for Emilio Rojas, bro. Mm-hmm. It's another check from a different perspective. You know what I mean? From a different consumer. The consumer that's all up at the front of the stage, in the mix, super hype, like with your shit. But, bro, he's proud enough to fucking do this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, again, not everybody moving like that.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact he don't know you either. Like that.
It's like, it's one of those things. It's interesting because a lot of artists shy from it because, like, I feel like there's two things that happen when you're on the stage. One, like, you're physically above the audience, right? So it puts you in this position of, like, where you're kind of an imposing figure and people kind of got to look at you a certain way. And I think artists also get anxious about shit because fans can be a little extra at times, like a little too touchy, a little bit too comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people avoid it. Me, I just know I'm going to get down there for a little bit. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, 50 people, 500 people. I'm going to still hop in the crowd at some point. Mm. Or I'm going to walk on the crowd if they got their hands up. There's going to be some sort of like more meaningful interpersonal interaction between me and the audience at some point during any set regardless. Just because I feel like that's how you build an authentic connection with the front couple rows of the show. And that's where all the energy stems from, you know? Like, I can't see the people that are tucked in the back by the merch booth, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you guys can't see me either, I mean, really doesn't impact the quality of my performance, you
Facts.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that's dope you recognize that. I mean, shit, dude. Yeah, you got to catch the whole set, and luckily I was there for the whole set, and, I don't know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes? So how long were you out there?
31, I think 31.
Okay, hell yeah. It was an interesting set, man. And but like from the point to, you know, we mentioned you'd go on the acapella route and doing that. But from the moment you like brung everybody in, like I said, the most admirable part, like from my perspective, is just being able to understand you.
Mm.
Like real talk, bro.
I got a question.
Go.
I got a question. All right. So Cheers.
I forgot about this.
Or Golden Girls, man. Which one? Golden Girls was going. Which one is the best, man, of all times? Cheers.
I don't think either one of them really are the best.
Yeah, no, I can't
time.
Go on that.
Which one you going with?
For old school shows?
Oh, we're watching them?
No, I'm just talking about the theme song.
Oh, yeah, the theme song?
Yeah.
You won me on the outro.
The outro is but everybody's, you know, like the whole point of the show is, right, like, interaction, like building like relationships with people, right? That's why, like, even before I drop the Cheers theme, I go introduce myself to people in the front row, like even before that, because the whole point is like, yo, I want you to know my name. I want to know your name. So then I play the Cheers song. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, you know? So it's like, that's supposed to be a reference to what just happened.
Yeah,
with
I totally understand the theme, the concept of it. I really do. It makes perfect fucking sense.
Yeah.
But at the end of the show, you played
Golden Girls.
Right? And that shit got me hyped, dog.
It's like, by the end, we all friends. We all homies. You know what I'm saying?
I love it, though. Yeah. That's interesting way of going at it, man.
Yeah, man. It's a dope set, man.
I'm sorry. I gotta go with the Wonder Years for the best
Wonder
old
Years
school theme
good.
Song.
Ah, man. I have to hear it. Fuck.
Well, I'm gonna go with my friends. I can't hear you now.
Only Jimmy could sing that back to us. Right? Yes, Jimmy's wrong. One wants to say something.
I don't know, man. I'm thinking, man, Fresh Prince got it, too.
I mean.
Man, come on, man.
I mean, that's kind of like.
I like MASH.
Man, I like Fraggle Rock.
I like Taxi. Yeah, you ever heard heard the lyrics?
I like the show tags.
Have you ever heard the lyrics to the MASH song?
Nah.
It's like about suicide. It's like the darkest, most depressing shit ever.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
about
there's
that.
Like a whole, like, there's a version with actual singing on it that's fucking depressing as fuck.
Damn.
Yeah, you gotta look that up. It'll
I'm
fuck your head
check
up.
Check that shit out for sure.
Shout out to MASH, man.
Shout out to Suicide MASH. Yeah.
So, as far as the catalog goes, man, in the years you've been doing this, how'd that start, bro? Like, as far as, like, early inspiration for Emilio Rojas, where did this journey begin for you, man?
I don't like, fucking know. It was like, it was like, so my family used to call me Tito when I was a kid because I couldn't pronounce my name. And I used to call myself Ice-T until I realized it was like Ice-T already.
Ah.
And then, yeah, I just like used to rap like all
shout
the time.
Shout out to Ice-T, man.
Yeah, shout out to Ice-T. He's probably watching.
Yeah, shout out to Ice-T. But yeah, I just, you know. Just started rapping. I don't fucking know when.
Yeah. As far as like, what about your first solid project, recorded project? When can you put a
I would
date
say
on that?
I would say it'd be one of the Green Lantern tapes. Probably the first DJ Flex. Green Lantern tape. Yeah. I don't remember which one it was, but whatever the first DJ Green Lantern tape, that's the one.
That was the one where you had that girl on the hook, right?
I mean, I had girls on the hook.
No, I'm saying on like the first record you released was like some girl on the hook, right?
I have no fucking
I remember idea. I heard that shit. It was like. I was young as fuck when I heard that shit.
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
That shit was fire.
It was definitely a Green Lantern
that
project.
That was what drew me into you was when I fucking heard that shit.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
There was some shit like that. That was way back in the day.
Was it the first Breaking Point?
Nah, this is before that.
Before that?
Yeah, this is before Champion and everything.
Because the Green Lantern, I know the Green Lantern.
Because you had that like recession shit before.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It might have been that. That might have been it.
Yeah, I think it was on that.
That's why SMG Jimmy is in that chair over there. But that's interesting to hear him chime in, though, and you throw three or four titles and miss every time. He's like, oh, dude, no, before that.
I'm telling
like,
you,
what about no,
before
dude,
we linked up,
that.
Man, I was a fan of Emilio, bro, man. I was a fan.
I've been working too fucking long. That's what I'm telling
you. Nah, dude, that's just a testament to your work.
Yeah,
you know, and to hear Jimmy spark up like that and start speaking about past catalog in reference to something you're referencing to.
Yeah.
But to know Jimmy started his, like, now Jimmy's featured. I saw Jimmy on stage with you last night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. That's so dope. Just that part of the conversation. Like,
Jimmy's
to hear,
super fucking talented.
Jimmy's a super good dude, too.
That performance was crazy as hell, too.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. But I think that's cool. That's a cool part of the story, though, when he jumps into that and just said that he said, man, I've been a fan of you for a long time. That puts kind of a timeline on that part of it, you know what I mean, about how what led y'all up to being here at the same time. You know,
I was a big fan of Emilio for a long time, dude. Like,
it's love. I appreciate that.
Yeah, facts, bro. I used to, dude, it was like there were so few rappers when he first came out that were really spitting emotions at that moment in time. Like, it was that like Jeezy, Kanye, you know, type, which I love that music, but it was all party music at that time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Man, he was coming out. Ooh, shit, you called it.
Timber!
That's one. I got three more to go before I hit the over-under. Whatchamacallit.
Should put some money out this.
You know what I'm saying? But it was like, at that point in time, no one was really spitting emotion and real rap. And he was coming out with some real raps back then. And it was like, that was what drew me into it. Because I always I always was drawn to the artists that are coming with something where you feel it. Instead of the head bobbing's dope. I love doing that too. Mm-hmm. And if you could do both, that's when you have a magic track. Mm-hmm. But it's like when you feel it, that's what I'm always looking for. I was looking for that like dark feeling shit.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of that.
Yeah, when you were first coming up, you were going crazy with that shit.
I was upset. I was angry at the world.
Facts.
That's a fact.
Is that how you look at it back then? Like when you look at that part of your career, like more angry? Because now you come off as one of the most calm people I think I've ever met in this world.
I'm super chill, yeah, for sure. I've always been super chill, but I think it's because, like, music is so cathartic.
Mm.
You know, like, I don't process my emotions in any other way.
Yeah.
It's kind of, like, sociopathic.
Yeah, I get it.
I feel you, man. It's therapeutic as hell.
I mean, that's the only reason I write music. That's why all my shit always is like, damn, is this dude always depressed or something like that? Like, because when I'm writing, most of the time, you know what I mean? That's the time when the good shit come out.
Or, like, it's a good discovery tool, right? Like, you might not even be able to really articulate or understand what the fuck you're feeling.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you start writing a song with no real direction. You tap into some shit you didn't even realize you were going through.
Those are the ones that are like, to me, those are the best tracks that you write.
Yeah, those are the hardest
hitters. When you kind of just zone out and you just write some shit that you feel and you don't even know what it's about at that time.
For sure.
And then it like comes out, you finish the writing of it and you're looking at it and you're like, oh, this is
directly about a situation in my life that I didn't even know I was talking about. Yep. You know what I mean?
It's crazy how that shit works.
Yeah. Subconscious is nuts.
And you're from New York originally, right?
I'm from Rochester, New York originally. And then I moved to Washington. Yeah. Well, if I don't get it right, I can't go home. So, they'll be waiting for me at the airport like, hey, yo.
So that's still home. That's where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, that's where my family's at. Yeah.
Cold as fuck.
Fun fact.
Brick.
Never been to New York, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Cold, you should go. You got to go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Hey, it is a trip. It is. Yeah. It's nice. It's nice as hell.
It's definitely something I want to experience. I mean, I don't even want to call it bucket list shit. Like, it should happen, like, in the near future. Like,
Bro, you a fucking hip-hop fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go to New York.
Yeah, especially doing what we're doing. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of time before we end up
when
in
I
the
first
city,
started, but... When I first started with this shit, working with Magic and SMG and everything right there, right? The first trip we took for music was to New York, right?
You have to.
Okay. Biggest con shit that ever happened was this shit was the funniest story ever, right? So we get me, my boy Kurt, my boy Too Clean, Magic, all of us, we get together and this dude's like, man, I'm with Atlantic Records.
Oh, shit.
Blah, 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 blah. You know, I got the hookup. I'm going to introduce you to this guy, Gene, and then blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? So we get on a plane, we go out to New York, and we're all amped up and shit like that. We're like, we're going out
there. This is it.
Yeah, we're going for a music meeting. It's the first one ever. You know what I mean? So we get off the plane, we get there, and this motherfucker's like, okay, man, I'm going to take you into the building right now, man. But, you know, we're going to go at like 1 o'clock in the morning, man. And we're like, why we got to go at 1 o'clock in the morning, bro? And so he's like, we're just going at 1 o'clock in the morning, man. I'm like, all right, bet. Whatever. We're going to listen. We're here anyway. So what the fuck? We're going to ride it out in at least. You know what I'm saying? So we go over to the Atlantic Records building. He brings us right into the Atlantic Records building. Immediately pulls out a bag of cocaine and starts sniffing it.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
We're like, what the fuck is going on? This dude's just doing a bunch of blow in the Atlantic Records building. And we're just like, what's happening?
But y'all
happening
were in the Atlantic Records building.
Yeah, we
right?
were in the Atlantic Records building. And then he starts with the famous question. What's your budget? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
We're already in New York, and now he's hitting us with the
what? Was he a janitor?
Oh, dude, this dude, we couldn't figure it out for the life of us. He starts talking about this dude, Gene, right? I have no idea who Gene is.
Gene from hip-hop since 1978?
I have no idea. The only thing we heard was the name Gene at this situation, right? He's like, man, if you give me $20,000, I will introduce you to Gene. And the second you meet Gene, it's over with. You blown up. So we're like, oh, man, we just fucking did this whole trip.
I mean, did you do anything else in New York?
Yeah, no. The second all that fucking shenanigans ended, it was like, I feel like everybody goes through some scams with music. You know what I mean?
Music is one giant scam until it's not.
Yeah, the second was done with all that. We actually linked up with Jim Jones's crew and all them.
Tight, yeah.
And they showed us kind of the ropes of what we were doing and how we needed to get in and shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fucking funny story, bro.
Dude, this dude's like, man, I'm gonna introduce you to Gene, bro. $20,000 coming in your pocket,
bro. There's so many charlatans in the music industry, man.
Facts.
I want to start like a Yelp review service for people that are independent contractors.
That's a good idea. Yeah. You shouldn't be saying that on
this
podcast.
I'm not trying to monetize it. People monetize enough off the music industry. Artists get taken advantage of enough, man.
Yeah,
fucking start rating these motherfuckers.
It's a free source fucking thing. Free source guide.
Hold people accountable. Yeah,
somebody should do that though. That's,
man, real talk, bro. We should all fucking orchestrate together and do it. It'd be the best written shit ever.
Facts.
Dude, if we all just put our two cents in.
Teach motherfuckers how to stay away from Gene.
Bro. Man, all right. Yeah, fuck Gene.
I'm going to introduce you to Gene, man. No, what's your budget, bro? No,
man. Fuck Gene.
I think it's interesting to sit with somebody that's from New York, bro. I don't know personally, like honestly, like just an open conversation. I don't know anyone that was raised in New York.
Now you do.
Yeah, right?
But I mean in Rochester.
Yeah, in Rochester.
Yeah.
But anywhere. Upstate, you know what I'm saying? Just to be from that particular part of the country and just to be so oversaturated. Like, just for you to come through here, Emilio, and use the word hip-hop so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, down here, it's like rap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he be spitting, right? He rap, right? Like, you know, he got bars, right? Like, the word hip-hop just don't even really come out like that down here. You know what I mean? Like, you can just kind of tell a difference. And then the way, and in your music, too. Like, your music's presented differently. Like, it's almost like a New York style, you know what I mean?
Someone's there's definitely a New York style of music.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and, no disrespect at all. I'm just saying,
man, he got
interesting.
Yeah, he got
y'all say pop or soda here.
Neither. We say Coke.
Okay, man, fair enough.
Just like Atlantic Records, bro.
I'm going full circle.
It's a few of them, man.
Just like Atlantic Records.
Just like Atlantic Records.
Cold drinks, man. Sodas.
You say cold drinks?
This motherfucker was out of
something. What the fuck is that? Yeah, I never heard that shit.
So y'all don't say pop or soda?
I say soda.
I say pop.
Saying cold drinks is extra. You give me an extra word?
I feel like ain't nobody doing that.
No, I'm telling you, go in the hood, you're going to hear cold drinks.
We're in Nashville?
Yeah.
I'm a look.
Yeah, you want
cold drinks?
I've never heard that before in my life.
Me neither. I heard a bunch of
never heard that before in my life.
I heard tender dick today. I heard cold drinks.
That's what I'm saying.
Tender dick.
Yeah, man. You gonna hear motherfuckers saying it.
Somebody come in though and say, like, give me a Coke. I said, I got Coke in there. Like Pepsi, Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
But Coke would be the immediate reference.
I say that. I mean, I say give me a Coke for sure. But like,
see, I drink
spend
water.
Some time on Buckhannon.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I drink too. But I used to drink a lot of pop. And when
all you drink is water? Yeah. How long you been on that kick? Forever?
Recently, because I don't know, I'm trying not to fucking die.
Yeah,
there's like a bunch of crap in everything, bro.
Everything.
Yeah, you can't fucking escape. You're probably shitting this shit,
bro. You wouldn't believe what I drink. What probably wouldn't want to be my friend. I drink Monster nonstop, and then when I'm not drinking Monster, I drink Mountain Dew.
I mean, I seen the Mountain Dew earlier,
bro. The trash can's full of Monster cans. That one's empty because I knew you were coming. Look at that empty Monster can.
Sheesh,
it's fucking 9:30 at night, and I just finished a Monster.
Just pounding that shit,
pounding it, bro.
Damn,
it don't keep you up.
It doesn't, bro. I'm like, it's like motherfuckers that drink coffee all the time. Like,
that's me. I drink a lot of coffee.
See, I do not drink coffee.
Oh, okay,
so am I even? We good?
I think you're good. I could be a coffee Somali. I could tell you what type of soil that shit was grown in.
What's your ethnicity?
I am Venezuelan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so South American.
Got it. Because also, you portrayed a different language a couple times. You were speaking Spanish a couple times.
Was I? I think maybe like
you
a line.
You threw a couple of things out there.
Homeboy at the show tried to say
that's
that.
That's it.
Asked me what I knew about empanadas. He's Mexican. They don't know shit about empanadas in Mexico.
That's exactly what he said to him, too.
Yeah. I was like, bro, you fucking Mexican. You know tacos. You know fucking, you know, fajitas and shit. You don't know empanadas.
But that's what made me have that question. I was curious. I wasn't sure.
We're Venezuelan. We eat like a lot of arepa, which is like a...
thanks, because I have no clue what
that is. It's like a corn like biscuit. It's fucking delicious.
Right.
We eat cachapa, which is like a corn pan... A lot of corn. Corn pancakes. We eat ayacas, which are like tamales. It's just,
okay.
Venezuelan food is delicious, bro.
It sounds interesting. I wouldn't be scared. Matter of fact, when we make it to the city, we're going to hit you up. And
yeah, for sure. Or if you're ever in LA, hell yeah.
So as far as like your discography goes...
Mm-hmm.
Label situations. You've been signed to major labels at times or like upscale?
So I had a couple of situations, right? So,
yeah.
Sorry.
No,
you're good. For a while, I was fucking with Violator. Rest in peace, baby Chris.
Oh, wow. Okay. Shout out Violator.
Yeah, big shouts to Violator. Then I was like, I was going to go to MMG for a little bit. That didn't quite pan out. So that kind of got like squelched. Is that the right word?
Great word.
Yeah, that's the first time I think I've ever used it.
That's a great one.
Yeah. Then we went to, we ended up taking a deal with Empire on the recording side, not on the distribution side though.
Just on the recording side?
I was like the first artist to actually sign like a record deal over there, not a distribution deal.
Got you.
Which, you know, may or may not have been a good or bad thing.
When was this? What year is this?
Shit, if I know.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
While back.
Yeah. I was over there for a number of years because the situation with my management at the time got a little complicated with the label.
Mm.
It was a little, some wires got crossed.
Gotcha. Right?
So that's as diplomatic as I could be.
I understand completely.
Fuck the management situation.
I'm with it. Yeah. Makes sense. So currently independent as fuck?
Currently independent as fuck.
Good for you, man.
I love it, bro.
Yeah, good for you.
It feels great.
Especially to see you at a caliber show like I did. You know what I mean? To get like a gist of it from, again, the consumer standpoint, to do a little, just jump down a rabbit hole, Google someone, get a general idea about what they've accomplished over a number of years, see some of their accolades, you know what I mean? See their growth as an artist,
right?
And then see them perform literally like a few hours later.
That's fucking wild.
It is wild, bro, especially coming from this chair, because it's kind of a rare fucking scenario for me, like honestly. But it's almost, it sucks. Me personally, it sucks to have to look at someone and admit that, though. Like,
I mean, I appreciate hearing. It's very interesting to be on the other
right,
side
and that's
of
what that's what I'm saying. That's kind of like my point for this whole thing is like kind of give you a glimpse of what it's like for someone in that scenario. Because to your point, I'm tapped the fuck in, but I was just wasn't. There's so many fucking artists
so
out
many
here,
artists.
And
so many.
I'm at a point in my life, bro, where I've said it on the podcast, bro, where I literally tap into everything I can now. Like I don't care what genre, I don't care, like the most trending music videos on YouTube, I watch them weekly and just next at least 20 to 45 seconds of a video every Friday. Top 50 new release songs, I tap through the first 50 of them, no matter the genre, just open all genres. I tap into everything.
That's crazy,
right? But I seem like I have to just taking the lane in the direction we're taking as a show. No, like,
no, so you can stay aware of what's popping.
Yeah, because we don't try to just limit ourselves to hip hop or anything else. Like, we sit with open discussion, like I was telling you. But at the same time, it's a music podcast, but we want to try to keep the floor open as far as being experimental with the genres and just.
I think right now everything's transitioning to genreless.
What is a genre? Yeah. I love that, though. Yeah. Do you like that point of
view? I love it. Right now I'm working on a Rage Against the Machine project.
That shit crazy, too. Yeah.
I don't doubt it.
Crazy. He sent me a couple records of that shit.
Just you?
Yeah, so I partnered with my boy Ricky from, he's in a band called Ice Nine Kills.
Okay.
Which is like a big heavy metal band. My boy Alec.
They're from New York as well?
They're from all over the place.
Gotcha.
So we got a bunch of different instrumentalists. My boy Hisham. We all just been working on these records. Like, it's like, I feel like there's a big gap, you know? People are doing like these hip hop records, but they're all fucking pussy. Like, all the songs are like super emotional and emo and shit. And like, I feel like what's missing in that lane is like the real like anti-establishment, like, fuck, I don't want to talk about my personal issues. I want to talk about things that are more pertinent on a larger scale. You know what I mean?
So, gotcha.
Yeah. So it's been real fun. Like, it's dope. We got some shit. I'm actually really excited about it.
Yeah, them records are crazy. I live in that lane that you're talking about, the meshing
that,
of genres.
Yeah, that little rock, rap, edge kind of stuff,
I like to keep that 90s grunge feel with my shit. You know what I mean?
Pearl Jam over here. Exactly. Any fucking better.
You already know. Creed of rap, son.
That boy is hard on everything I've heard. Chorus, bars, all that right there, man, is hard.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, but that's an interesting light. Like, to hear you have Rage Against Machine type records, like, that's interesting to hear as far as a band, full band goes. So I'm taking, it's got like kind of a rock edge to it.
Oh, it's rockish, fucking nuts. Fuck.
Right? And then to hear the type of lyricist that Jimmy is, you know, like, because Jimmy clearly has that type of edge to him to where he can sing these hooks. Like, to watch you rip that verse last night with Amigo, fire, bro, because that's a difficult verse.
Appreciate you, bro.
That's crazy.
I know that's difficult. This motherfucker smokes as many cigarettes as I do.
Man, I'm a heavy smoking fat bastard, bro.
I know.
Bro,
I gotta get in shape.
Treadmills.
Motherfucking Amigo hit me with the man, bro.
He asked me, he's like, yo, how you do the breathing?
I'm like, he's like, I get on
look
the treadmill.
At you, Jimmy. That's what he said. Look at you. Them cigarettes don't help, but you did great, bro. But then.
You got through it, yeah.
It was interesting also, though, from a consumer standpoint, to hear Jimmy sing those hooks last night, to sing the hook on y'all's song.
Yeah,
because I've never seen Jimmy perform live, unfortunately. Like, as he's grown to be a good friend of mine. Facts. Over the past year or so.
I mean, we live so far.
Absolutely.
You know, being in Chicago,
but we communicate a lot
constantly.
And he shares records with me almost every conversation. He's got something new to share with me, and I absorb every bit of it. But this is the first time I got to see you live.
Facts.
But to see y'all do the record, and it was to a instrumental, no lyrics in the background, that's admirable, you know what I mean? It's interesting, too, man, because you'd be surprised how many artists don't perform like that.
People are scared.
Absolutely.
You need that backing track sometimes. Like, I've had, like, a sinus infection, so I've been debating, like, yo, should I throw some vocals on some shit? Yeah, fuck it. I say fuck it.
Yeah, I like the half and half angle. Yeah.
That's kind of how I like to do
it. I like the ad-libs, or at least the choruses be there for interaction during the choruses or something like that.
Yeah.
The chorus has always got to be.
I don't ever do ad libs on my track, so I just
really,
yeah, I just, well, not recently, maybe like 10 years ago, I would.
Wow, that's a
now
that's
it's
cool
just one vocal, yeah.
Huh?
He's not lying either. He sent me a straight one cut vocal. When
yeah,
we did
I feel like
start.
It dates the record. Well, you know, like,
it was crazy.
I think that's so. Being a, like I said, I used to be an artist, right? Mm-hmm. Heavy around 2000, I kind of stopped. I don't know, man. Fucking 12, 15. I don't. It's been some years, right? And then recently, him and Chad Arms, the guy that left right before we started, shout out Chad Arms TV, they released a co-ed, like a project together called Joe and Jerry.
Yeah. Okay.
And they gave me an opportunity to be featured on it. And it's funny, though, because I'm used to dubs and trips and ad-libs. Mm-hmm. Like, that was kind of like the method to the madness back when I was like a heavier, like heavily involved in making music. So I spit my verse at Stu, and I'm just, we're going to dub that? Like, huh?
Yeah, I feel like it dates a record right away.
He's like, Squints, you're good, bro. No, we don't need another one. I'm like, but bro, it's just one. Like, at least let me, like.
See, when it comes to vocals,
like, I'm looking for that dub.
I'm layering the fuck out of my shit.
I can get that, though.
See, like, when you're singing, like.
Well, yeah, when you sing,
you got to thicken it up.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, on my rap shit, like, the rap shit, I'm going to run, like, maybe a double.
Hell no.
Like, maybe a double.
Yeah, see, I like his attitude towards it, though.
My producers said the same shit.
My producers asked me to double shit. I'm like, fuck off. We get in arguments about it all the time. I'm like, no, I want to do it in the mix. And then I'm like, I'll try it.
Right.
And then I'll get the mix back. And I'll be like, I can hear that shit. Turn that shit down.
You really feel like that?
I fucking hate it. It's not 2006.
Like I said, the attitude about it is,
I'm telling you, it makes me mad. It makes me fucking upset.
AQ will make you sound like glass, baby.
I'm pissed. Like, I have this conversation every week.
I love it. I love the ad-libs.
I get this fucking, oh my God.
The no ad-libs is where it gets a little dicey. Like, because where you can don't, I got a strong enough vocal to where you can single me out to one stretch, like one take. One mic, one track, I'm cool, but I gotta have some ad libs on.
I ain't gonna lie. Maybe I feel so stupid with the ad libs, dog.
Something. Maybe. I gotta have something.
Yeah.
I feel stupid every time I'm in there trying to come up with ad libs. I feel like a dumb fuck, dog. I'm in there. But
that's how the best ones are created, man. You just going in there and acting a damn fool.
You know what I like is when the homies do that.
That's it. That's the way to go, dude.
Agreed. That right there, too. Yeah, that'll work.
Especially if you got a joint record with somebody and y'all switch up and do each other's ad libs.
Yeah, that works.
That's always a vibe.
Yeah, that works.
But imagine if we had video and vocal footage, no record. We just had the vocal footage and the video of like all of our favorite rappers doing ad libs. Imagine how fucking funny that would be, bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that shit would be funny.
I mean, some of the funniest shit. Yeah, all that kind of shit. And you know they're like always on edge about what they're going to do, when they're going to do it.
And they're freaking out while they're doing it. They're freaking out, and they're always, that's like when, I feel like even to me, that's when you get the most hype when you're trying to do an ad lib. Yeah. Like, it's like, yeah.
It's always, I always sound, I'm like, one, I always thought it sounds stupid. Like, bro.
Me too.
Blaze 314 used to do all my ad libs, bro.
It do sound stupid when you're doing it. It feels stupid sometimes. Man, but when it all comes together,
it can make or break the song.
Man, it can.
Do you guys ever write? Like, do you ever plan your ad libs? Like, yo, between this line, I'm gonna say yeah.
I don't like
a Moneybag Yo. Like, Moneybag Yo's got punchlines in his ad libs.
If I have like a line of the song that's like part of the song that's like supposed to like dim down or go up, then I'll write it out. But that's not like.
Yeah.
If the ad lib's like a part of the song, I'll write it out. But like,
sometimes
I'm never writing out right here.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Right there, I'm gonna say.
I just have plans.
You know I'm very sparse with my ad libs. I'll maybe great use word. Two a verse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that, so it's like, yeah, I don't know. Fuck them shits too.
Sprinkle. I feel goofy as hell when I be doing that shit.
And I think it depends on the type of beat it is. Like if it's a beat with some bounce, it's a club. Down south club joint.
And it's easier to do bounce. It on them.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You got to feel it. So yeah, I think it's necessary for those. You do it if you do a club beat, a club song with no ad libs on that motherfucker, man. It got to be
catchy.
Some Kanye shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it got to be some shit, some big name motherfucker. You got to have it like that.
Yeah, bruh, you know, bro, you wouldn't believe some of the dudes that are done records with. Have you tapped in?
Run them out.
Help me out. I know I saw Joel Ortiz. I know I saw Dave East.
Dave East, Styles.
Styles.
B.O.B.
What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Killer Mike.
What the fuck, bro? Like, come on. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, as I tap into this guy, bro, it's just like, how the fuck?
Joe Budden. Crooked Eye.
I always fucked with the one dude you always had do the vocals, that Imani dude.
Oh, Imani, yeah.
I fucked with him.
Them all spitters. And see, you know what? That makes so much sense, though. Because listening to, like, your flow and the way that you rhyme, you don't need ad-libs on.
Too wordy, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Not a lot of space, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in there.
Yeah, you want motherfuckers to hear you and feel you when you say it the first time. God
but damn, I do say every once in a while, I'll be like, or prr, you know, little prr, never heard of
anybody. Little sound.
I can't. Yeah. I be doing them when I get told to do them by my producer. Otherwise, I have to literally be told to do ad-libs. Otherwise, it's like, nah.
Yeah, I feel that.
Nah.
So when you mentioned that Rage Against the Machine project, is that like currently the focal point as far as new material?
So I just dropped Breaking Point 2. That's out like for maybe a month. It's been out.
Okay. That's a whole album?
Yeah, it's a whole album.
Shit. I know that's on my playlist tomorrow.
Yeah, it's actually really dope. I'm really proud of it. It's super dope.
Shit's fire.
Full, how many records are on it?
10 records on it.
Okay. How you feel about that project?
It's dope. It's super dope.
Yeah.
Man, I just heard so much. I can't wait for that Rage shit, bro. Oh, yeah, I can't wait for it, bro.
Gotcha. But yeah, that was what I just wanted his personal.
No, the Breaking Point 2 is super fire, too, man. I mean, to me, it's like anything he get on, I mean, he going to kill it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like there's a couple of records that are super hard on Breaking Point 2.
The Crown of Thorns go crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's Jimmy's. What's your favorite, Milo? Because I haven't heard the records yet.
I like Creep With Me. That was Creep With Me as I cruise in my Beamer. I did it last night.
That shit's dope to cruise to the whip to.
I've got some footage. I haven't decided when or where I'm going to place it during this particular sit down, but I got two or three cuts of you last night on stage, just some cool footage. Cool. And I got most of y'all's performance together on footage.
Oh, bet.
But I thought that was a value, at least just being, because especially us touching on the crowd work stuff early and stuff like that. Man, that was so dope to watch, bro.
I appreciate that for real.
And then after the show, just get, you know, we hung out for a minute and we didn't stick around for all of Ritz's shit. Shame on me. Shout out Ritz. Pull up on me.
Shout out Ritz.
He knows. He's, all you got to do is check his DMs. He knows that chair is his anytime he wants it. But at the same time, we hung out for a minute just to get the opportunity to sort of just introduce ourselves to you, man. And because we knew we had aspirations to have you over here this evening. But man, what a impactful way to meet a new artist and just to have you pull up the next day and just see how you are as a character for a minute and just sit and chill with you. Is it's interesting to be Squint some days, man. It really is, man.
I mean, I'm chill. I'm pretty chill,
and
man.
You can get that vibe from you. You know what I'm saying? Like some people around, you just get funky type of feel. Yeah. From them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nah, man, that ain't it.
I mean, I'm chill until like I'm pushed. You know?
Of course.
Just like everybody, I got my thresholds, but
right.
Most of the time, I'm fucking chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the Breaking Point too. Any features on that one?
Just Ritz, actually.
Okay, shout out
Which
Ritz.
Is ironic the way, it, like, we didn't plan it. I'm, like, a feature on his album. He's a feature on my album. And I wasn't, when I reached out to him doing the record, there was no talks of the tour and vice versa. It happened, like, real last minute.
And did Ritz hit you up for the tour, obviously? Yeah, but how much preparation was that? Was it like, last minute deal? Or was it like, hey, man, I'm playing this tour. You want to get involved?
Like, maybe like a month.
Cool.
Yeah.
And currently on the tour, how long does, when did y'all kick off? Where y'all end up? How long
April,
is this going on?
It's just for April. We're done in May. Like first week of May, I'm back.
So what's that? 12, 15 dates? How many dates y'all do?
18, 19.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah,
it was
work.
Chill. It was chill, though. It was a chill run.
Good turnout last night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was an earlier show, shout out Basement East. I haven't been out there since we had bad tornadoes here a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. Fuck out of here, I'd be gone.
Bro, that fucking place you were in, the place you performed yesterday, bro, used to be rubble.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Nah, dude, facts. No, like, Google that. Up. That motherfucker was on the ground.
I'm glad I didn't know before the show. I'd have been fucking crazy. Paranoid.
Oh, dude, I've lived in
Twister too many times.
They brought it back.
Yeah, they brought it right back. But, like, we've lived here our whole lives. We've lived here our whole lives.
On the outskirts, there's always tornadoes, dude.
The Windy City.
Yeah, I mean, we used to go hunting them. As we were kids, we'd go drive around when they'd say tornado warnings. We'd get in the car, light up a blunt, drive around looking for the tornado. That shit was cool.
Just
that's a different type of gangster, right?
While we're not used to them, like, to that destruction value, like, that was a different deal. Like, when them motherfuckers came through here a couple years ago, they went right through the city.
Oh, they can be deadly as shit. If they're heavy up, if they're, like, one of those heavy type of tornadoes, they can destroy everything.
I was looking around Basement East. That motherfucker was so fucked up, though. You would think they'd have, like, a pictures or something up on a wall. How far we've came since then, because, boy, them boys bounced back good. That patio was nice. It's just a nice little spot last night. Like,
they actually really did a good job. There's all the venues have been great except for fucking St. Louis. Actually, was
he
the
hates St. Louis?
I fucking hate
he
it.
He told everybody.
Why do you hate?
Yeah,
St.
what
Louis?
Happened in St. Louis, man?
Should we talk about it, Dennis?
Let's talk about it, bro.
It was crazy.
He says, "Yeah, let's go."
So we first of all, St. Louis, great people, horrible crowd.
Just like the energy or
they were super sweet and kind. Like when you talk to them. But then when you get on stage, they're fucking sitting down the whole time and
lame,
shit.
Lame, just no energy.
300 fucking people just sitting down in their fucking asses for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, as a performer, you're going to get... So my ass, if you're going to sit down, I put a stool in front of the stage. I did my show on a goddamn stool.
Might as well.
Yeah, fuck it.
Y'all comfy.
And then we found a little kid, and he was interactive at first in a good way. So, you know, like I'm past... He's 6 years old, this little kid. And I cursed and I looked at his mom and I'm like, I'm so sorry that I cursed. I felt guilty about it. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. That's not the worst he said. This is during my set.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, all right, so what's the worst he said? And I put the mic in front of him and he says, suck my nuts.
Oh, shit.
So, okay, that was cool. We did that a couple times. He kept saying, suck my nuts. It was cool. It worked every time. The crowd was loving it. Perfect. Okay. Right? I get on stage for my last song because I, like I said, I did the majority of that set in front of the stage because the crowd was just so low energy, right?
Mm.
So I get back on stage and I bring him up to the Golden Girls theme.
Mm.
And I'm like, say goodbye, Liam. And I hand him the mic. And the DJ drops the fucking fader. So it's quiet. Excited. Oh, he said the N-word.
Oh.
And I was just like,
oh,
I had no fucking, I was like stuck like a deer. I grabbed his mouth.
Wow.
I grabbed his mouth. I was like, holy.
He just said the word or he said a phrase with it?
Just the word.
Oh, shit.
I mean,
what the fuck?
Yeah, it was fucked up.
Yeah, that's
awesome. And I just didn't know what to do. I was like,
what did you do?
I just grabbed his mouth. I was like, yo, you can't say that.
Yeah.
And then we left the venue. I was like, fuck this.
Were you there for that, Jimmy?
I was not. I missed St. Louis.
Jesus Christ.
Sounds like I'm grateful I missed St. Louis.
Hey, where's that clip, bro? We can go viral tonight.
That shit was nuts, dude. She showed me the clip. I was like, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh, man.
I was on stage. Oh, bro,
go tonight.
I was on stage. I was like,
yeah, of course.
And then afterwards, I'm like, fuck. You know, like in the moment, I had no fucking idea how to handle it because I was just stunned, you know? And then the whole night, the rest of the night, I'm like, oh, man, I should have done this. I should have done that.
But you held his mouth and said, you can't say that like that.
Yeah, but then I'm stupid. And like his mom was like, give him the mic. Let him apologize. So I'm like, oh, yeah, this kid owes the crowd an apology.
Fuck that. I know that's what
I should have done. But then he said sorry. And then apparently, like, she was yelling at him and, like, he was crying. Like, that whole shit was fucked.
Wow. Okay, yeah, that's fun, Alex.
That took a turn.
I thought we had the upper hand.
Usually I have a good control over the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
That night was just, I don't know, there's some fucks. There was some shit in
the
water.
Bad mojo in
the water. There was some meth in the water in St. Louis.
That
shit was fucking crazy, bro.
Wow.
But besides that, I guess St. Louis is cool, but that shit fucked my whole shit up.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
At Basement East, last night, when y'all told me that doors open at 6, mm-hmm. I immediately thought all ages show.
Okay.
And then literally we were on the way. I think I Googled it. Like I was like, let me check, bro. Cause we were questioning the bar is going to be open, that kind of shit. Cause some it'd be moving different right here in Nashville when it's all ages. And you know, from whatever else, but, yeah, it wasn't, but obviously that one was,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh bro, that was fucking mortifying,
man. God, I can only imagine. I want to see the clip, bro.
I don't know what I would have done, man. I probably would have been shocked too. Just,
I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, well, it was a 6-year-old kid.
It was a 6-year-old kid.
Yeah, I get, so I get
like,
all that.
You mad, but you looking at it, it's a 6-year-old kid. Yeah. And it's like, damn, it's fucked up.
Yeah. I think where I said something, where I was like, not only him say shit, I think that's where you lost me. If you would have went with that.
I should have fucking, but I just didn't know what to do.
And
I was
then
like,
when he started crying, be like, yeah, you should be crying.
Yeah.
Golly.
But that, he was crying after we had already fucking walked away. Like his mother or somebody had scolded him in the crowd.
Man.
But then, you know, I'm feeling partially responsible for it because I'm egging him on, telling him to say bad shit.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I get it.
Fucking bad shit.
But he was only saying, suck my nuts.
Yeah, so I thought he was going to hand him the nuts
again. I don't hear him say a whole lot worse.
Yeah, right. But I thought when you gave the kid the opportunity to say something and he said something,
I thought he was going to suck my nuts one more time, and that was it.
Fuck that. I would have been like, fuck you, bitch.
Something like that.
Oh, shit, I'm good, mom. Fuck yeah, but I wouldn't. Come on, bro. To go that route late in the game is.
I mean, he had to have learned it from his parents. That's what I think. You don't just know that shit as a 6-year-old.
But, bro, you get that stage and he's like, bro, why'd I say suck my nuts the first 3 times? I should have went with this.
I'm curious.
And then got another opportunity and went with that.
That's crazy.
I'm curious to know, like, what race was the kid?
Oh, he was fucking little Hitler Youth, bro. He was a little fucking Hitler Youth, bro. He was out here with fucking blonde hair, blue eyes. That was, bro. That shit was fucked up.
Hitler Youth, though. That's fucked
little
up.
Baby SS, man.
Oh, shit.
Facts, bro. My man was out here fucking.
Oh, dog, I'm crying.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, dude, that hit me different.
That's even more fucked up. Like, damn, bro.
Yeah, bro. I mean,
oh, shit.
He can't.
That's just crazy.
Squint's losing his shit.
No, what about when he said it? I pictured a little kid, man, with the mustache and everything. Oh, that's fucked up.
Bro. Oh my god, that fucker, a little 6-year-old.
Yeah, fucking little 6-year-old.
Fucked it all up. Now St. Louis will never be the same. Never. It'll never be the same.
They
for
have
any
to
of
give us.
Us
a big ass bag to go back. I'm not fucking.
Man, dude,
gotta bring the kid back.
First time I ever had to go. I'm from Chicago, so St. Louis only like you know 7-8 hours away from where I'm at. First time I went down to St. Louis, it was fucked up, dude. I went to an HBCU college called Lincoln College, right? And I went down there, and I was going to school there, and I met
in St. Louis.
No, this is in Lincoln, Illinois. It's like cornfield, Illinois, Lincoln, shit. Illinois. You know what I'm saying?
He fucking
and fucking.
But y'all ain't that far though.
I have my boy Kurt. My boy Kurtwood. Shout out Kurtwood. I ain't seen you in 15-20 years, type shit.
Right.
But you know, fucking. He was like, man, you know about party. You took me to party in Chicago, bro. So, you know, I got to take you to party in East St. Louis with me. Now, I knew nothing about St. Louis, right? So I didn't know what Kurtwood did. I knew nothing about Kurtwood or anything like that. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to go because I was 19 and I didn't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Jump in the car with him. He takes me down to East St. Louis. Man, it was the most fucked up weekend I think I've ever had in my entire life. This motherfucker was literally trying to get me to sell crack with him.
He took you to the block.
He took me to the straight up.
He was trying to recruit you.
I was the only white dude. So like, and I'm sitting there going, "Yo, I'm not selling crack, bro. What you mean? I don't sell crack."
Oh, you do now.
He said he was trying to put me on that. I was like, man, fuck that shit. Right,
golly.
Yeah, that's my only experience in East St. Louis.
Nah, yeah. Never been to St. Louis either. I ain't never been nowhere north, bro.
Hey, man, you stay the fuck away from St. Louis.
That's what I'm starting to think.
You got
too.
It.
Now, after all these experiences,
I'm bro, like it go, it fucking Hitler down. Use. It goes down in St. Louis. A lot of people don't know, man. Like,
oh,
like,
it definitely goes down.
It's like the murder capital, rate is right? Up there. Yeah. It's like one of the murder capitals.
I mean, it's right by us. Yeah.
It's always up there.
I love to see a Cardinals game.
Not in St. Louis.
Cardinals
they let him go to Atlanta. Catch him in Atlanta.
Yep.
Damn, that's a good point. I guess I have to, huh?
Man.
Fuck. So when, where you talked about the, what was it called, the latest album?
Breaking Point 2.
Yeah. We talked about, what was your favorite record, Jimmy?
Off that album? I like actual Breaking Point 2 a lot.
He said something else.
I like Crown of Thorns, too.
But Crown of Thorns on a different project.
Oh,
so
that's a different project. Which project?
That was on Life Got in the Way.
Stupid, man.
Project.
See,
how you fucking that one up? You fucking my shit up,
I
man.
Fucked that Christ. One up. Bro. See, I had the recession though, and you didn't have that one.
I didn't know my own catalog.
See, you know what I'm saying?
Right. But hey, if you're gonna be a fucking fan, bro, be a fan. Bro.
I am a fan. I don't give a fuck.
We kicking facts and then not be facts, Jimmy.
You know. I do the best I can.
I ain't mad at you at all, bro.
I smoke a lot of weed, my boy.
I gotta tap the fuck in, but that's why I wanted to be. I'm interested on y'all's favorite tracks on your latest project because you literally said it yourself that you're super proud of that project.
I like it. Yeah, it's a dope project.
How many albums you got total?
I don't fucking know.
Like that?
I don't think. So this is the way I feel.
Like albums and mixtapes, that kind of shit. So you went through the mixtape era.
Yeah. So I feel like I have even Breaking Point 2 was like a mixtape to me. Feel like back in the day, a mixtape used to be like on other people's beats and shit. Now I just feel like. I feel like when you do an album, you're deliberately setting out to create a body of work, right?
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And with Breaking Point 2, it was just like, these are a bunch of dope records that kind of fit a theme, but it's not really any narrative happening. It's not really about anything in particular,
mm-hmm.
but it's just a bunch of dope records. So I'm just going to put that shit out.
Do you like the word project?
Project is cool. As long as you don't live in one, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But just that title, I dig that as of lately. Yeah. I dig projects better than EPs.
Mm-hmm.
One.
I mean, hey, EP serve a purpose.
Yeah, but at least we didn't title the return EP.
No.
At least it's called the return.
You know what sucks EP, about
it's only
EPs.
Five records.
Yeah.
Well, Spotify will list your EPs in the same category as your singles, so it won't even be listed with your projects.
Is that how it works for yours? He just recently dropped an EP.
Yeah.
I guess we call it that. It's five fucking songs.
I didn't pay attention to that right there.
I didn't either.
But I think that's a good thing, though.
You think it's a good... I feel like they hoe you like that. Not you, but just in general. Like, because you're not going to get the same... Like, when people go through your discography, I don't know. I would want...
Yours had to have went album-wise, though, because it charted an album.
Yeah, but the thing about that right there is when you got a catalog...
Yeah,
I can see what you're saying. I was gone for a long time.
Yeah, gotcha. This is his first. Like he dropped five songs, like an EP out the gate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he was featured on records.
So in order to build that catalog, gotta give him something. Especially man, when people was like die hard, man, fucking with me throughout the whole time I was gone.
Yeah.
Feel like I own them.
Oh yeah, so yeah, hell yeah,
gotta definitely give them something.
Especially yeah, that's, so I feel like I respect that.
I feel like
that's,
I've been doing dope. The single yeah, route the whole sure. time, and now it's like
you
I,
have.
I gotta drop an album. Who at says? This point, you know what I'm saying?
What do you think about that?
Because I want to kind
of done doing albums.
See, I'm gonna do one this summer, just because I feel like I want to give a picture of who I am as an artist, mm-hmm. and I feel like doing a full project to get that picture.
Excuse me.
Instead of, you know, me doing singles, I fuck around in so many different genres and doing so much different shit that it's like, I never really get the sound out of exactly what I'm trying to portray. So with an album, it's like I can make it my sound and not, you know, because I'm always doing so many features and shit like that where it's like, I want something that's like my sound and people can fuck with me for my sound.
You're, you know what I'm people you feature shit on. Is yeah. that kind of what we're
yeah,
talking about?
I mean, people jump on my shit all the time and I work with a lot of artists and people show love. And
the song,
know,
the song from last night, whose song is that? Yours or yours?
That's my track.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's my track.
Record too.
Yeah. It is a dope record.
Yeah, shout out Lonely yeah. Star.
I like the visual too. The visual's dope.
Oh, the
visual
yeah. turned out dope.
Shout out Pico.
Pico yeah, killed
shout
that.
Out
yeah.
Pico.
Bro, there's last minute.
Bro, have I showed you that video?
No, I ain't seen that one.
Yeah, bruh, them lasers was crazy, bro.
Song,
fire.
The song is crazy.
So the laser shit's crazy, and the floor on the other the shot, it's like just a bunch of LEDs.
Well, that's
it's
the
just,
same. Oh, that's yeah. the same laser setup, though.
And it's just shining down on
it's
the floor.
The same. It was the same. Damn, it was the same laser you. Setup. That shit was crazy, bro.
Shout because high, def, high defs in the building. He's probably got some tricks to do that type shit.
I know. He handheld it, like, that whole shit too.
Pico.
Yeah, Pico handheld that whole shit, bro.
I
crazy.
Fuck with Pico because I'm bald headed, so like not everybody knows how to shoot the bald
bruh,
head.
I didn't know you was bald headed until you took that off.
Yes, you did.
I don't think I. No, I did not.
I had
bro.
My hat off half the show last night.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Damn.
Yeah,
bro. What an idiot. It's probably on my phone's footage.
That's why I got to be extra careful when these little drinking. Hitler youth get on my fucking stage. Because they're not going to take the time to look up my fucking ethnicity.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Damn, fucking.
Ain't that a bitch, bro? The internet's crazy. A motherfucker, too.
Motherfucking raise your kids better, people.
That's crazy.
Hey, man.
Y'all got footage of the whole thing?
Oh.
I ain't gonna lie. I probably would have laughed my ass off, man, at a certain point. Not because it was just so funny, just because it's so fucked up.
That's fucked up. That's viral as fuck, though. I'm trying to tell you.
I don't want to go viral for that.
Not off that. If your reaction would have been different, and something that you could like come over here talking shit about, like Squints, wait till you see what I did. Yeah. That'd be.
But it's also
scenario.
A little kid.
Yeah,
that's
of course.
What I'm saying. He's 6 years old.
So what was I supposed to do?
Sparta kicked him off the stage.
You can't do that. It's just like that'd be even
right. Charlie knows what's up. Should have fucking 300.
Dude, he's 6 years old, bro.
Yeah, that's the.
Shouldn't be talking like that.
I agree. Shouldn't be talking. Talking like that 100%, but you can't be kicking 6 year olds.
That's how you, five.
That's how you teach them.
His parents
he said that's how you teach them.
That's how you teach them.
You find his parents, kick the shit out of parents.
Yeah. You don't make them cry and let them apologize.
But then it's also like, you know, you're in an. These things cross my mind after, right? Like too late. But like I'm in another city. We rolling, you know, without the pistols, without right. like. I'm not fucking trying to get caught up in some bullshit in a place where I'm not even deep.
Yeah.
Where I, like. There's all these other things to consider. Like, it's a teachable right. moment, but like, fuck that.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just talking shit.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of it.
Tour will put you in some uncomfortable ass situations.
That's a pretty uncomfortable situation.
A lot of artists underplay how much, like, you for have to sure. be willing to just, like,
man,
when you go on tour, like, you got to be willing to deal with some shit on your own.
Man, for sure.
And, like,
I've gotten clean off the stage when jumping the truck and hit 80 down a fucking main street. You know what I'm saying? With motherfuckers guiding us just to get away from the goddamn club. You know what I'm saying?
You see what
before
I'm saying?
Anybody
like,
try to follow us and shit.
Like, you don't know, man. People
there's some shit that go on tour where you're just like, man, this is fucked up. Like, it's fun and shit, like everybody said, but like, it's also fucked up.
Well, touring for everybody. When is this episode going to air?
Mid-May.
Okay, cool. So for this tour, we're not rolling with security. I'm saying that because... this episode is going to air after.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like, I don't have somebody making sure that we're straight. And not like, I don't really get caught up in a lot of street shit anyways, but you know, we got merch money, we got expensive equipment,
absolutely.
I got expensive clothes. Motherfuckers is like, they're looking for a come up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So
it's like, you got to be careful, yeah.
Facts. Yeah. I mean, as simple shit as getting your fucking chain snatched or stupid shit like that. You know what I mean?
Shit.
Just to boast the shit or, you know, talk that shit or post it on their social media.
Yep.
Motherfuckers always got targets on you, even when you don't expect them.
Man, believe that. Funk-ass haters, man.
Yeah, that's exactly
get
what that
job,
is.
Get a job, bitch.
It's, it's like you see some of these people, man. They look so desperate, man.
One getting hype over there. Did you hear him?
I was going to go hard on him, but I don't want to be a hypocrite because I done some fucked up shit.
I mean, there's always somebody creeping on somebody. I mean, shit, if you ain't got it, You looking at it.
Yep.
Shit, mm-hmm. I mean, I ain't gonna front. When I was younger, I ain't have it. I was the one looking at it. Now it's like, nowadays, it's like, now it's all straight and shit. But yep. like, I think about like, what would I have done back then? You know, yeah, if I seen yeah. some dude roll through right. my city,
and
roll through my spot.
I'm hungry.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, roll through my spot. I ain't got nothing. I ain't doing nothing.
And I want it.
And yeah. I want it. Yeah. You know what I mean? I want that. And it's like, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah. You got to understand from other people's perspectives. Yeah, and man. Those perspectives.
Well, I mean, that's why rappers get extorted when they go to certain cities.
Absolutely.
For real. For real.
Yeah, it's like.
Motherfuckers make a living off that shit yeah. now. Oh,
excuse me.
Extorting fucking rappers.
Man, believe it.
Tapping into even knowing when they're gonna be, when they're gonna be in the city, where they're gonna be at, yeah. where they're staying with, set them up checking with some broad, just gonna yeah. fucking rob them or some shit. Oh, so sneaky sorry. Ass world.
Man,
like,
listen,
good,
listen,
bro.
Real shit. I'm so goddamn paranoid about the broads, man. Like you can't pay.
You ain't
me
got no broads, bro.
Man, you're absolutely right. I do not have broads. But what I'm saying is like when a motherfucker on the road or some shit like that. Like back in the day, you can't pay me to do the shit that we was doing. Back
nah,
then.
These bitches will set you up.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I was talking about.
All
yeah.
they ain't calling nobody, man. They robbing your ass. They drawing down yourself and they popping you.
Bro, I literally was watching a clip on y'all know how social media be nowadays, bro. You clip one little you tap on one video and the next thing you know you just do like this and it'd be a dope ass video. You just keep going. You fall in that mm-hmm. rabbit hole and you just go. Yeah. And I saw a clip literally the other night, these three broads, baddies, bro. And this homie was in the room and he's cussing these broads. He's like,
bro,
I'm about to beat the fucking brakes yeah. off you bitches if y'all don't give me my fucking strap.
Yeah.
And he's looking for his gun.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And see? These girls are like, look, I don't know, Bob. You know, they all, and bro, these some badass women, dog. Mm. And he like fucking goes off to camera for a minute and one of them bitches fucking looks at the camera and pulls that pistol out.
That's fucking crazy.
Waves dude. It like at the camera and drops it back in her purse. As soon as he comes in the room, they're like, look, you're going to have to go. Dude is
so living out in Hollywood, dude, yeah. the shit you'd see some of these girls do out
in the club scene
and shit
bro.
Like that, bro. That's what your jaw would drop, bro. Like people think it's slap. Dude, girl, man.
That's scary world, bro.
On some whole other shit.
Fuck all that shit.
Yeah, I don't trust these hoes.
I ain't got to worry about none of that.
Nah, me neither.
I don't trust these hoes.
It's not
man.
Worth it.
Right?
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Nah.
So where you're at right now on the tour, you just got the new album out a month ago, I think we said.
Yeah.
And then we heard this Rage Against the Machine project that's brewing in the background.
Yeah, fucking love it.
That's interesting, man. No projected date on that. No timeline on that.
Nah.
Just know
you know what's crazy is I've been able to get so many features like for this record that ordinarily would have been so difficult if I was just like, yo, hop on my rap shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fucking weird, right?
And then with this, things yeah. are kind of falling in place as far
yeah.
as that goes.
Yeah, which is weird, but it's cool.
Mm, that's
I'm excited about it, yeah.
I'm excited about it, honestly, just for that, the way you're talking about it, and it'd be so in early development stages, I guess you could say, but Jimmy kind of co-signing that he's super excited about it.
It's special. I feel like it's different right now from anything else that's happening.
That's... Again, you know, and that to play off the lane that you're tapping through, you know, I think all that shit's interesting to watch. You know what I mean? And you know, we talked about how the different genres we try to incorporate with this show. Not that bringing y'all on tonight or bringing Emilio on tonight, but having Jimmy with us as well, just because he's such a good friend of the show. I don't even think this is a kind of a hip hop or rap episode. It is given your track record,
mm-hmm.
but to hear your creative. The way your mind works a little bit, man, as far and to hear the calm and complex tone that you possess, just sitting here with us tonight, man, and getting just a better glimpse of your character. It's been cool to kind of.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys.
For sure.
One thing you mentioned before we started, though, was when we sat down and Emilio got comfortable for a minute and he got the vibe of the room. He kind of, and the camera was hooked up. He said, oh shit, so we're going to be able to see my feet the whole episode. Right. And he mentioned his shoes. And how did you describe your shoes, Emilio?
These are the Adidas Boozinitz shoes. The Boozinitz. I like to skateboard in these. These are my favorite skate shoes of all time.
So that word right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That word is a crazy word. How long have you been skateboarding?
So I skated my whole childhood and then I took some years off because I had some injuries. And then I've been skating again. So my whole life on and off, I guess.
Currently, do you have any injuries right now?
I have a broken toe right
okay.
now.
Okay, shout out to the broken toe.
Right here.
It was fun, though. It was funny earlier as we were kind of getting ready to go. We literally finished one as the guys got here tonight. And off camera, I heard in between the madness, I had to tuck the kids in. That's what it was. When I came back out here, I think y'all were talking about how many bones you had fucking broken or how many injuries you had sustained skateboarding.
Yeah.
But fun fact, had no fucking clue you were a skateboarder until that moment. Like, or had that, that knew that was part of this fucking story. Like,
so
I,
you know,
what's
weird
clue.
Is when Lupe dropped the Kick Push record, all the skateboarders like were like, fuck that shit.
Really? Anti-Lupe?
Yeah, because it was like he didn't really skate like that. But as an that was us as at 13 years old, like, you know, being like little fucking shits.
Yeah.
But now as an adult, like, I really respect that record. Like, because I'm viewing it like with a different lens. You
felt like he was clout chasing back.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's the word, but he was just like a poser. Like, he didn't really skate. You know what I mean?
But I couldn't answer culture that.
Vote. What makes you, see it different now?
Because I realized that you could have love for something without participating in it to that level.
And that's how you think he was talking about that record, just from the love of it?
I think he loved the culture, and he might have participated in a different way than, you know, somebody like me who's broken every fucking bone in his body doing it. So
that's
crazy.
You don't bleed this shit.
Right? Yeah. You ever been competitive with it?
Two times?
No.
Two broken bones?
I'm all right.
I'll be done.
First one, I'd be like, maybe it was just a bad accident.
Pay attention to what's happening
here
right now.
Second one, I'm out.
I'm out of here.
So ever since we got the couches and chairs, bro, it happens where there starts to get two conversations because we're so comfortable. We comfortable, bro.
Imagine if the legs recline on the legs and all that.
Be asleep. One of us be asleep.
Yeah, I'm smoking.
But I asked Emilio if he's ever skated competitively, like from
I skate good. Like, if you go to a skate park, I'll be like one of the better skaters at the park.
Your shit.
But I'm not like pro. Probably if I didn't take so many years off, I would be pretty good.
I couldn't make it to the end of the fucking driveway.
Oh yeah, no, I'm good. I got some dope tricks.
If I sat on my ass on it, I probably could roll when I put my feet down.
You know what I've always been interested in? Like, the skaters really respect Wayne.
Wayne? Lil Wayne? Yeah.
You know why? It's the same reason I just said I have dedication. Reverence for Lupe.
So you don't think he actually skated though?
Lupe?
No, Wayne.
Wayne does
like
now.
Wayne actually skates. Yeah,
Wayne skates. Wayne shows up. He puts in the work.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I feel like he actually skates.
Here's the question. Okay. Should he be listed as pro? Because he just
Wayne
got listed.
Wayne is not a professional level skateboarder.
They just listed him as pro.
Really?
And he's not. Well, I mean, that's where I got thrown off.
The way I look
bit.
At that,
yeah,
I mean.
He's Wayne, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the way I look at it is like, you know, if you're like a super successful politician, you get that like honorary degree from Harvard University.
Absolutely.
You know, like, Wayne put in enough work, and he's at the skate park, and he's with the pros, and he respects and loves the culture enough where, like, you know, they could throw him that bone. And you could tell, like, when he's, like, skateboarding, the thing I love about skateboarding is it's a very unpretentious sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you asked if I was competitive ever with skateboarding, and, like, the thing about skateboarders is we don't fucking like being competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, there's a couple pros that obviously make a living off being competitive, but skateboarding has always been like counterculture. So it's not really about that. It's like meditation, you know, like
therapy.
Yeah. When I skateboard, I don't have to answer my phone. I don't have to deal with like
facts,
you know, because if I do, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fuck myself up. So I could actually be present in a moment and disconnect from everything that may be, you know, benefiting or not benefiting my life.
Yeah, just unplug.
Yeah, I totally unplug, and
that's a dope way to look at it.
Yeah, so, and when you see the clips of Wayne skating, you could tell that he's doing that too, you know, and that's why I have nothing but, like, good things to say about Wayne as a skateboarder, because he genuinely loves the culture. He's not, like, trying to profit off it, or he doesn't need to.
Yeah, I think that's real too. It's dope to hear somebody just even not skating professionally or competitively, just skating as long as you have and having such a, you know, huge inspiration and just living, you know, through that culture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know. I can't speak for everybody in the room, but I know everyone that's raised here ain't got shit to do with no fucking skateboarding.
Oh, speak for yourself, man. Listen, I'm semi-pro, man.
I feel like a lot of kids skateboarded by
now.
I wasn't into it.
Where, in Chicago?
I wasn't into it.
Because SMG Jimmy, he resides in Chicago.
I was playing hockey and shit back then.
Until we got the Predators, wasn't nobody talking no fucking hockey here. And now we have like little leagues and shit. You know what I mean?
You guys have a bunch of rinks here or no?
There's a few at the Ford Center in Hickory Hollow. They have a rink.
That's dope.
But there's a couple here and there. And during the holiday seasons, they pop up here and there.
Yeah.
But hockey used to not be a fucking thing here. Yeah. And now it is. And that's cool. You know,
it really wasn't a big thing where I was at either. Cause like when I was a kid, the Hawks sucked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Blackhawks.
Like the Hawks were trash. And I would go, I was a fan my whole life. You know what I'm saying? I would go all the time, but they were trash. And
yeah.
Like, you know, the best thing we had was Tony Amani going at that point in time.
No, don't you know
and ain't nobody know that name. Cause you know,
I don't know anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Not me either.
Then
I don't know hockey.
Then
like
they
that.
Got hot, and when they got hot, all of a sudden Chicago was like the hotbed for hockey.
Was that a lighter?
Like 10?
Oh, I got
9, 10.
Somewhere.
Oh, you need
the
a lighter?
No, I got Jarvis one. Thought I did though.
Here.
Oh, here. Okay,
you got my bad.
No, it was me.
Yeah, no, it became like a hotbed for hockey. Then after the Hawks started winning,
we do have skate parks.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. And that it seems like that's like a more of a thing. Now, too.
I can't skate anything.
I know you can't.
Ice skate, roller skate, skateboard.
I can
there's one skate that I'm familiar with. We can't talk about that right now.
Oh.
But other than that, I can't skate at all.
I can ride the hoverboard. Yeah. I can't do it. Yeah, I can do that.
Like, that's harder than skateboard.
Really? I can skate. Yeah. I could skate.
That's so crazy for you.
I could skate on ice. I could skate on blades and shit like that.
No, ice ain't worth a fuck. Roller skate's not bad. Better when I was younger. But the skateboard, fuck that. Like, yeah. I will bust my ass.
Likewise.
See, I'm that, like, the thing about skateboarding is, like, all right, so my toe's been broken since, like, what, the third day of tour? I've been skating still. Like, I'll skate on a broken toe. It's not a broken ankle.
Damn. You take your board ever? You got your board with you now?
Yeah, I got an event.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, the true answer. If he would have said no, it would be like, oh, okay. But,
I mean, you never know, like, if you feel, you know.
Catch, but golly, I couldn't imagine what that would be like. But that's great, though. That's at least fun. To have that ability to be able to unplug. Yeah. When I unplug, it's kind of when I sit here.
Yeah, well, see, that's everybody has their thing, right?
Yeah, because honestly, my phone's like not intact. I'm engaged in conversation with great people and interesting conversations. Right. You know what I mean? So it gives me an opportunity to kind of unplug. I don't know what the fuck's happening inside with my kids and shit right now.
That shit is so necessary, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
It definitely is. We sit here around these, you know, up till now, the new set, but up. We used to always reference to the table as being a therapy session. Like one of our most recent episodes is literally called therapy session.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And it was one of the newest ones with the couch, but it's cause we just find ourselves in, you know, some of the most interesting conversations, but it seems like when we're done, it's almost like therapeutic. And I could imagine.
Yeah.
It's just that term, that unplugged term. It's so powerful. Wherever you find it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, people need that shit.
Yeah, wherever.
Especially now, right? We're always on these fucking devices, glued to these screens, getting that little fucking oxytocin boost and
shit. Ooh, good word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, shit is fucked up, you know?
You try to stay off of that type shit?
As much as I can, but unfortunately, like, the reality of the life and the game that I'm playing, right?
Absolutely.
I gotta be on it all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's so unfortunate, right? Especially when you have that, like, grown mentality to where you recognize, like, it's polluting at the same time.
Oh, it's horrible.
But when your brand kind of relies on it at this day and age, it's like, it's so bittersweet. It's like you have to almost engage or
I have so much contempt for it.
Yeah.
Like every it's like fucking miserable. Like I open it up, I'm like, do I have to really start
do I have to do this?
Yeah.
I totally understand what you're saying, bro. And even like running the show, I'm just bad about it. Like I my mind doesn't think like that. I don't look at it as an opportunity online to like look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's weird.
It's so fucking
It's so
weird.
Performative. Like, hey.
Yeah.
It's not my nature. Yeah.
But it's going to make more sense. Like, when the bag comes, like, when the show's go, like, when we go, there'll be things moving for that. And I'll see it around me, and it'll make so much more sense to me. But as far as me, like, just, like, we put two of these motherfuckers out a week. Like, we stay working with it. Yeah. Like, and amongst the editing and doing everything in-house like we've done, just out the mud, and then mixing in visuals for the guys and graphics and, you know, them making music, like, we're always moving. We don't promote shit. We just go. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I could only imagine what that type of engine is going to do. We need some interns or some shit up in this motherfucker.
Man, say that shit again.
I know a little 6-year-old Hitler youth.
Fuck that.
Yeah, you can keep him.
It's almost, we've referenced it so much, we'd almost have to call the episode that, but we can't do that.
Please don't. That's not
the Oh, man. Please. Yeah.
So, but with the, I'm anxious to tap into the most recent album. I'm going to start there as far as getting down the catalog for Emilio Rojas. But, man, I just, for what it's worth, bro, I just want you to understand, like, just the value I took out of leaving Basement East last night after watching you perform for the first time and then seeing you work off stage for a minute, interact with the crowd. You know, Emilio tells everyone in attendance, the most powerful line you got to me as you got off stage, bro, is that I'll be right over there at the merch booth. We hear it from most artists. Most seasoned artists say the same shit. I'll be right over there at the merch booth. You know, come get a t-shirt. Come do this. Come do that. But even if you don't buy shit, just come holler at me. Come say hello. Introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Come meet me. That right there, bro, is so fucking powerful. You know what I mean? And when you jump on stage as Emilio Rojas and you got somebody standing to the side that don't know really shit about what they're about to witness, and you portray what you portray, then you say, hey, I'll be right over here if y'all want to come meet me. Bro, luckily I'm squints and I took my time of that type of shit, bro, but trust me, bro, even if not, I would have ran over there to meet you, bro.
Yeah, I think it's good to meet people, man. That's half of the, like, I'm an artist, right? Like, I got to be inspired. I got to, what am I doing this for? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm in these rooms with hundreds of people every night. Like, I think they're giving me their energy. I could do the same.
Yeah. Good energy in there. It really was.
Yeah, they were dope last night.
Yeah, it was super a dope show.
It was a good look, too. It was pretty thick in there. There's a lot of people in there. It thickened up quick, too. About the time y'all got on stage or y'all set rolled around, it seems like.
Things started to get settled and people started migrating towards stage.
Yep. Yeah. So currently, like we said, this comes out about mid-May, just based off what we got going schedule-wise, and that's to your reference about the security and shit. But after Nashville, how many more dates are on this tour?
4 days.
Four more?
Yeah, we're done.
Gotcha. So,
winding down. Good.
Getting tired? Yeah.
I've had a sign. I don't know if you can hear it. I have a sign.
I wouldn't know the difference. You know what I'm saying?
You might want to rest your foot for a second too, man. Rest. Off that motherfucker for a little bit.
I'll be good, bro. I'm going to go skate probably tomorrow. I'm not even tripping. But yeah, I had a sinus infection. Shit is not going away. Which is weird because you're getting through these fucking records and the super fast raps, barely breathe and shit.
What's it look like for you after tour or after these next four shows?
So I'm going to get back to L.A. because I live in L.A. now. And
flex.
No, it's not a flex.
You don't like it?
I like New York. I like parts of L.A., but I'm still...
How long you been in L.A.?
7 years.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have known it until you said that because as much love as you speak on New York, bro, I would have thought you're headed there... After these,
well, I mean, New York I tapped after 9 years. I was in LA for nine. I tapped after nine.
It's cool. Like, there's a lot of work there. A lot of people.
When you're young, that was the spot. You know what I mean? That was the spot. Back, especially 10 years ago, that was the fucking spot.
But it's got crazy since COVID.
Yeah, shit's lost its mind lately.
Everybody that's had resided in LA for a portion says this. Like, no matter the magnitude of that person, like, as far as fame or whatever. Yeah, like,
but, I mean, there's a certain appeal when you first touch down, though.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. There's a certain appeal when you first touch down in L.A. I don't care if, like, if you're young, like...
I did it on accident.
See,
You ended up in L.A. on accident?
Yeah.
You ended up on...
I went on vacation and just stayed.
Oh, you did it on accident, too?
I went on vacation and
stayed. Is that you, too, or did you just go on business and stay?
I went on business, but I had, like, a blood clot, so I couldn't get back on a plane.
Jesus.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, that's a whole different reason.
May want to get that checked out.
I did. Yeah, exactly. So reason. I couldn't fly for 3 months. So I had to stay for 3 months. Then during those 3 months, I was getting so much work done. Yeah.
Stuck in L.A. for 3 months.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I can think of worse things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Me too. I could have been fucking St. Louis for 3 months.
Man. With Lil Hitler.
St. Louis with Hitler. Jeez, I want to name it that so bad, bro. I'm trying to find inspiration for this name through this episode. We're usually pretty good on this. We usually, somewhere within the episode, we usually thumb a fucking, some wonky ass title that just works.
Yeah.
Damn, man. We can't go with Hitler, guys. No, we gotta come up with something.
You're gonna make me like start giving you names for this episode. I'll get it. Call it that.
It'll happen on the edit.
I'll give him a nickname.
And then when I post it on our it'll make sense. That's so fucking funny.
Yeah, don't call it anything after Nazis.
Hell no, dude.
We don't need that life. We don't need that love.
Especially not right now, dog.
Nope.
We're about to be gone.
Sheesh.
Emilio Rojas, man, it's been a fucking honor sitting here and getting to know you a little bit.
I've been having fun, man. Thank you.
Hopefully it's been comfortable for you, man. Like I said, we're out the mud over this motherfucker, man, but we're making noise and just to have you come through and make a little noise with us, man, is a fucking honor.
Like, really, I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. Do me a favor, bro.
What's cracking?
Just know that anytime you're in the city and you got some shit to say, Bubba, that chair is yours.
All right, cool.
We would love to have you back. Shout out Chad Arms TV. I know he would love to have you back.
For sure, for sure.
Chad had a bell right before we started, but me and one put him out there a little bit. He's a fan, bro.
Okay,
well,
that's love. Yeah,
he admitted that. He told us, bro. He's like, damn, I hate. I gotta go. But shout out Chad, man. Hopefully, when you come back in the city, man, we can do it again and get back into it a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Hell yeah, I'm down.
Shout out SMG Jimmy. You already know what it is, bro.
Shouts, Jimmy.
O&E, I appreciate you as well.
Man, always.
It's been interesting sitting here tonight, dog. And man. Yeah, you inspire me, man. You really do.
Well,
just from everything last night to just sitting here with you now. I hope the people watching really tap in. We'll make sure some of the latest shit's tapped in below where they can, you know, just tap into your Instagram or whatever. We'll throw some links down below for them to tap into.
Thank you.
Y'all do me a favor and do exactly that.
do that shit.
Yeah, for sure, man. And like I said, they're gonna
do it too.
Yeah, y'all better. Yeah. And like I said, luckily I got some clips last night too, so they've seen some visuals as far as that goes. So yeah, y'all nice. Be silly not to tap in. But with all that being said, like I said, bro, seat yours anytime.
Thank you. I appreciate that. For
yeah, we appreciate you, man. SMG Jimmy, Emilio Rojas, O-N-E, and myself, Squint615, is I Got Some Shit to Say.com, ChadArmsTV.com. Yeah. You want to get us out of here, one?
Mildred.
Bow.
Bitch, we got views.